Hello. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Dean. Where are you calling from?
I'm in Santa Monica, Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought you might be in England.
I'm not. No. Do you know what? I was supposed to be in England. But that obviously didn't happen.
A lot of things didn't happen. We're living in a crazy time. How are you dealing with all of this?
Well, you know, it's been up and down, I suppose, and you know, just sort of trying to adjust and acclimatize, like we all are, to this to the current reality. You know, it's very, it's obviously brand new for all of us. So we're all trying. You know, I feel like it's one of those very strange situations where nearly everyone in the world is in a sort of a similar position, a similar mindset. It's very peculiar.
I know some people have taken up hobbies and they're baking now and all that kind of stuff. Do you find yourself going there?
I've got a long list of things that I will do at some point, but I have children, and so they're taking up a lot of my time, and you know, the whole homeschooling thing, that's interesting. So, you know, yeah, and just trying to find things to focus on, you know, in terms of work, and, you know, just trying to, I haven't yet developed a sort of a brand new skill, but we'll see. We'll see if that becomes something I end up doing.
There you go. Well, I have to tell you, this movie is such a feel-good, laugh out loud. I can't say enough wonderful things about it.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, it made me so happy. So,
great.
Yeah, so I think it's a really good time for something like this.
Right. Well, that's great to hear. Thank you. Thank you, Robin. I'm delighted that you felt that way, and then it did something to cheer up your day, hopefully.
Oh my God, I can't remember laughing out loud for a film in like ages.
Wow, that's great.
So tell me, is there a lot of improv that went on?
There was. I mean, we had, I think I was pretty disciplined about always shooting what we had in the script, but we had some brilliantly funny people, as you saw, who are amazing improvisers. I mean, you know, Tim Key and Alan Mustafa and Ashling D, but everyone else as well. I mean, everyone did improvising, but you know, but those guys are really, you know, exceptional at what they do. And you know, you could literally sort of put the camera on and they would go, and you never knew what you were going to get. Sometimes we would get absolute gold, and you know, and in truth, we had so much good stuff that it was impossible to put it all in the film. So we really were kind of spoiled in that way. Yeah, we had great improvisers. Olivia was also did a lot of improvising, and Sam, and so yeah, everyone sort of chipped in.
Well, I think the outtakes at the very end, I don't want to spoil it, but there are some really very funny moments. Were you ever thinking, like, we can't go over the top that much? That's just not going to fly.
In terms of what we put in the actual film, do you mean?
Yeah, and because the outtakes were very risky.
As with most films, but maybe this film in particular, where there were sort of infinite places you could go with it, because it's sort of about how chance takes you in different directions. We had scenes that, I mean, those were actual scenes from that we shot. And that, you know, that in the end we didn't put in the movie for all sorts of reasons, but yeah, I mean, there's another version of the film that has those bits in them, do you know what I mean? And so, there were a certain edit that did go that far.
And when can we see that?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, you know, that may be a discussion with Netflix. I don't know.
There you go.
Yeah.
So what inspired you to take on this project? Because I know it's a rewrite of, not a rewrite, an adaptation.
Yeah, that's right. It's a remake of a film called Plan de Table. And Yeah, I was sort of approached as writer a few years ago, and I mean, the real thing about it for me was just this concept. I mean, I've always been really fascinated by that sort of notion that chance has such a massive impact on the way our life goes, you know, that if everyone, you know, when everyone sort of tells their story of how they got together with their partner or they met their best friend or whatever, it's very often this little moment that could so easily have never happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, my wife and I got together when we happened to go to the same bar on the same night and, you know, got talking. And you know, in a million other worlds, that would never have happened. I would have gone somewhere else, or she would have gone somewhere else, or we would have both been there but not interacted. And, you know, so I've always been really interested in that as a sort of a, just a fact of life and a fact of history as well. And so this just seemed like, when I watched the original French film, I just thought it's such a great concept and such a fun canvas to sort of really explore this idea and to tell this kind of story. And I think especially at a wedding, you know, I think when you go to a wedding, you know, everyone immediately goes up to the table plan. You want to see where are you sitting, who are you sitting with, who are you sitting next to, because it's going to have a huge effect on your entire evening. And so with this film, we just took it that bit further, you know, and especially bringing in the concept of, you know, where you're sitting is going to have an effect on whether or not you get together with the person you're meant to be with, or whether or not your relationship will continue through the evening, or, you know, whether you might take a sedative you're not supposed to take.
Yeah. Well, you might be an enigma getting married to a person you've met in a bar. I think that happens very rarely.
Well, to be fair, there's a little more to it. I did already know her, and we were in a similar social circle. But we'd already met many times before, but there was that one night, and you know, not, I don't think either of us saw each other as prospective partners, but then there was that one night where we had to be in the same place and got talking. And, you know, it's that element, really, isn't it? It's like, you know, there's, and that, I mean, you know, obviously I love my wife, but I wouldn't imagine a different version. But yeah, there's different versions where there's somebody else there, or she meets somebody else, or, you know, and that just never happens. So, you know, and then of course the children that we have, they don't exist. It's a weird one, isn't it?
It is crazy. Do you have a special memory from your wedding that popped up while you were making this film?
I mean, my memory of my wedding actually is, I mean, I don't, this isn't necessarily something to put in an article, but we got married in Israel, and there was a conflict going on with Lebanon at the time. Literally in the sort of lead up to our wedding, there was a war going on, basically. And so, yeah, we had all sorts of problems with people, like, not wanting to come, and, you know, our worry about what is it going to happen at all. And, you know, it was unfortunately, that's a big part of my memory of the wedding, which isn't very fun or funny, but it's that's something that, you know, that I definitely remember from it.
Tell me, where did you actually shoot those wedding scenes?
We shot the entire film on location in Italy, in the Lazio region, just outside of Rome, a place called Frascati. And it was this beautiful villa that's hundreds and hundreds of years old. And so we were able to shoot the entire film, apart from those opening scenes and the final scene. We shot the whole film in the villa, which was fantastic because it just meant we could go to the same place every day. It was very organized in that sense. And, we were just, you know, in this beautiful part of Italy, so it was that was a real privilege.
And did everybody sort of stay together in the same place and socialize and hang out? Because it seemed like everyone loved each other on this movie. Like, there was such a great rapport.
Yeah. So everyone, it was a little dotted around, but everyone was pretty much, I mean, everyone was together all day, every day, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So, there was, you know, so we could really sort of build that sort of sense of a kind of an ensemble of friends. And, you know, so that was great. And people were sort of generally staying in the same hotel. So yeah, we were all together a lot for an intense 5-week period. Yeah.
And who knew that Sam Claflin was so funny?
Well, yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? It like there was, you know, and my obviously I've seen Sam in a lot of films. But I think that what really got me about Sam is just how versatile he is. And the film that I was watching was when I thought this is who I want for this film was actually Journey's End, which is a very grim World War One drama. I don't know if you saw it, and very very upsetting. And he plays a captain with PTSD. But he was so brilliant in it. And I just there was something about him. But just from that movie, and I think because I'd seen him in other roles as well, I just thought he's just got the sort of the range that I think will make him really good for this part. And he's also, of course, so lovable, you know, as a person and as an actor. Even though he often plays horrible villainous characters, which I find interesting, he's such a lovely guy, such a good person, and so. You know, I think that was something really important for this character, and I think something he brought along. And he's, yeah, as you say, he's really funny. He's got a really good sense of humor and is really unafraid to kind of to be funny and be the butt of the joke if necessary. And, yeah, so he was perfect. I was delighted to have him.
You probably opened up some new doors for his career because people will now see that he's got, you know, great comic chops.
I hope so. He should do more comedy. Because a lot of what he does, and he's brilliant at it, but a lot of what he does is so dark. I think that's the kind of actor he is. He can embody those all sorts of genres, and I think, I think there'll be amazing things to come from him in the future.
And Olivia, I just, like, you got her in certain shots where she would just make, like, a face that just spoke 1,000 words.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think that she, again, just is so brilliant. She's so sharp and clever, and I think that, you know, and what, I mean, aside from all of the other things she does really well in the film, I think she's just great with those reactions. Like those reactions to Tim Key, in particular, the Sydney character, I thought were great.
Oh, he was so funny.
He's so funny, isn't he? And poor Olivia, on her very first day when we started shooting the scenes with her and Tim, and I don't think she kind of fully knew who Tim was, and she really struggled in those first few takes just to get to not laugh, as we all did. I mean, we were all like laughing constantly at almost everything he did. So it was tricky. But then when she got it, she was fantastic, and her reaction. Because those moments, I think, when someone is being very funny or very strange, they work because the other person is reacting so well. It's like, you know, you need that sort of coupling. And so I was really happy with those scenes in particular.
Cool. And I was reading a little bit about your background, and every time I read something, it mentioned that you went to Haberdasher's boys' school in Hertfordshire.
Right.
How did that sort of mold you into the person that you are now, going to a boys' school?
Oh, wow. Well, oh, my God, that's a big question. that's like a therapist question. One thing that was very interesting about Haberdashers is that there were, for some reason, a lot of comedy, a lot of especially comedy people came out of that school. So I don't know if you know David Baddiel, but he was he's a famous comedian in the UK. So he was like the forerunner of this. And then there was Sacha Baron Cohen, went to my school.
Really?
And do you know Matt Lucas?
Uh-huh.
He was in Little Britain. So he was in my year at school. Dan Mazer, you know, the director, who also works with Sasha, and a guy called Robert Popper. Anyway, there's this whole sort of bunch of people that kind of went into comedy, and I don't know you know, I don't exactly know the reasons for that. I mean, it was a very kind of competitive school. You know, I think there's maybe something about sort of lots of competitive boys together being, you know, trying to one-up each other in terms of sort of verbal quips, maybe. Maybe there's something of that in it. It was a really particular kind of school that, you know, in which still most of my best friends are from that period in my life. It had definitely a profound impact that would probably take me at least an hour to sort of delve into the you know, what it really did.
What are you going to be working on next?
Well, I'm actually currently writing a sequel to Love, Wedding, Repeat.
Ah, great.
Yeah, it's called Love, Honey, and Repeat.
With the same cast?
Do you know what? I'm still kind of working on the creative aspects of it, so it's unclear so far. I can't really say at this point, but we'll see. Really, it really depends where the story takes me, to be honest.
And then you can do like Love, Divorce, Repeat.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, just keep it going. Yeah. I mean, I've already done the funeral. Otherwise, I'd say like maybe Love, Funeral, Repeat. But we'll see. I've just written a film called The Estate, which hopefully will shoot eventually. You know. Our circumstances willing, I'm just, you know, just coming up with more stuff all the time, and
don't stop, because you bring joy into people's lives. Like I said earlier, this is a really great thing to put out there right now, so thanks for this.
Thank you. That's very sweet of you. Thank you very much.
Okay, one more question. So you had mentioned Death at a Funeral. So I was always wondering what you thought of the remake.
I mean, it was... the biggest thing is it was just such a strange, bizarre experience and kind of brilliant. You know, I mean, who is lucky enough to get their film made once, let alone twice? And both times with, you know, in such... different ways. I mean, the remake was such a kind of a different experience, but you know, but also just really gratifying. You know, I mean, that cast was fantastic. I still, you know, I actually have the poster. I'm looking at it now on my wall, and it's like, Jesus, we've got such an amazing cast of people for the remake. And of course, I loved the English cast. I just feel lucky to have been able to have that experience twice with one script. It's quite unusual.
Cool. Well, Dean, thanks again. Stay safe and healthy, and hopefully we'll see you soon.
I hope so. Thank you so much, Robin. Take care.
Okay. Cheers. Bye bye.
Bye.
Always news.
Always refreshing.
Always candid.
Always milling about.
Robin Milling delivers what celebrities are saying to you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.